Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in 6 different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
With all of that said, let's pray and get into God's word today. Lord, I love you, and I'm thankful for this. I'm grateful for this. In the next few moments, Lord, I pray you speak through me. Teach us about the kingdom. Teach us about your ways. Teach us about the calling that you've called us to. Apostle Paul said in your word to walk worthy of your calling. Help us today to walk worthy of the calling of being your follower, being a disciple. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're beginning a new series called The Kingdom of God. Everybody say The Kingdom of God. And we're going to take our time with this series. We're not going to rush through this series because there's so much to be learned about this concept of the kingdom of God that I want to take our time. And you're going to find this series meeting needs for you, speaking to you in some areas, teaching you in some areas, challenging you in some areas. It's going to be a really powerful series, and I'm excited about this. But I'll start off by saying this, and I've taught a lot about this on our Unite 714. If you've been keeping up with that, that actually is ending. So tonight is the last night of Unite 714. We're going to be ending it tonight now that we're back with our services and together, joined together and praying. And just so you know, I heard Dr. Scott put it this way. He said, we will not cancel our services again unless World War III breaks out. Which is possible in 2020, but that's a different story. No, we're back. We're back. When I say the kingdom of God, most of us automatically think about heaven. When you hear the kingdom of God, you think, yeah, one day in heaven. One day when I get to God's kingdom in heaven. And that's a common, common mistake. Because the kingdom of God, yes, it is heaven. But it's also right now. It's also right now. See, I hope for heaven. I'm certain heaven is my home. And I know one day I'm going to be there. But that is not the full extent of the kingdom, because the kingdom is much more than just one day. The kingdom is now and to come. Only God can do something like that, where he can set up a kingdom that's in the future and in the present all at the same time. And I want to unpack this for you and help you understand this, because this is important for you to know when you read your Bible. It's important when you open up your Bible to know what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about the kingdom. Because if you're like me, you were raised in church and you thought that just means one day I'm going to be in heaven. One day I'm going to see God in the sweet by and by. But here's the problem with that. If you think the kingdom is just for one day, then you don't try to build it today. If you think the kingdom is just when I die, then you don't try to bring the kingdom to the earth. And our job as Christians, our job as believers, is to bring the kingdom of God to the earth. We bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. There's competing kingdoms going on, and I'm not just talking about nation against nation. There's a kingdom of the world. And then there's the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is infiltrating the world. And if you're a believer, if you're born again, you are a part of that kingdom. And we have a job to do. We have a role to play. Like me, you can sit back at times and look at the kingdoms of the world and go, what is going on? What is happening in the world today? What are they thinking? What are they thinking? What are they doing? Our job is to bring God's kingdom to the earth. It's to infiltrate every area of this world with God's kingdom. And I'm going to explain to you what the kingdom is. But first, let me prove to you what I'm talking about. See, Jesus will talk about the kingdom, but he would also talk about the kingdom as something present. And let me give you a couple examples of this to prove my point. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 25, Jesus is talking about, he's having this dialogue with the Pharisees. And Jesus had been out casting out demons, casting out devils. And they were saying that the reason he's able to do that is because he's got power from the devil to do that. And this is Jesus' response. He says, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drives out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your people drive them out? So then, they will be your judges. Listen to this, don't miss this. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, listen to this, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus says, these works, these things that I'm doing, when I'm doing them, I'm bringing the kingdom to earth. Jesus showed up in the middle of a kingdom and brought a different kingdom with him. Let me give you another example, a common one that you may not have even thought about. This is what he says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I can't wait to preach about this when we get to this, but when we're praying what we call the Lord's Prayer, which really is the Lord teaching us how to pray. It wasn't his prayer. But Jesus teaches us to pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, bring your kingdom into the earth. As jacked up as the world is, as messed up as the world is, bring heaven's kingdom here. And what does that look like? It looks like what you want to happen in the world, happening in the world. What your plan is, let that be done in the earth. So you may be asking, Pastor, what is the kingdom? I have a great definition for you from a man named George Ladd, who wrote an incredible book called The Gospel of the Kingdom. He says this, this is what the kingdom of God means. It means the defeat of the enemies of God. The kingdom of God means the reign of our Lord Jesus Christ until his enemies are put under his feet. See, I love that language because that's the language of an advancing kingdom. Christianity is not this passive religion. It's an advancing kingdom. It's a kingdom that moves into the earth. And oftentimes we quote this, that we say the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Let me teach you something about that scripture, the gates of hell. Gates are a defensive mechanism. Gates are something that is defending against something else. We always say the devil's attacking me and the devil's taking over the world. That's not the case. The world is already his. But when Jesus comes, he's taking ground and he's taking back what he paid for on the cross. So the gates of hell are the devil's trying to defend what belongs to him. But Jesus is coming back through you, through the church, and saying, that's mine. I paid for it. I paid for that. So this concept of the kingdom is Jesus coming to defeat his enemies, to take back what he is rightfully his, that he paid for on the cross. And without going too far into this, let me just say this. God, when God created Adam and Eve, you may be going, Pastor, I'm not sure about that. When God created Adam and Eve, God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. He gave them dominion. This is all yours. Be fruitful, be multiply, take it over. But when they sinned against God, they gave up that dominion to the devil. They gave up dominion of the earth to sin. But when Jesus came, and he died on that cross, that was him saying, I gave it to you. You gave it away. But now I'm coming to claim it now. I'm coming to claim it now. You may be wondering, Pastor, what does this have to do with my life personally? It's coming. I'm just laying a foundation. It's coming. See, when the gospel is preached and disciples are made, the kingdom spreads. Every time a believer walks into a new environment and they start to preach the gospel and the good news, and they start to disciple people and make disciples, what's happening? If you notice, things start to change. Why? Because the kingdom has come. The kingdom has come. That's why your sphere of influence has changed. Why? Because the kingdom came. That's why you don't talk like the way you used to talk. Why? Because the kingdom came. And when the kingdom comes, change comes. When Jesus shows up, he brings change. The thing I love about Jesus is there is no neutral with Jesus. You are hot or you're cold. You are for him or you're against him. There is no in between. Jesus would force people to make a decision. We talk about polarizing figures. There is no more polarizing of a figure in all of eternity than the Son of God. Because when his kingdom comes, you have a choice to make. I'm for you or I'm not. The kingdom. When the kingdom comes, change comes. You know, I watched an interview online. It's not actually an interview. It was actually a kind of a documentary about a tribe in Nagaland, India. Let me make sure I get that right. Nagaland, India. And it was a tribe of people who were headhunters. And I know we have kids present, so I won't get into much of what that means. Some of y'all are like, Pastor, not with my kids here. Wait, open up kids church before you start talking about it. But they were headhunters, and they would attack other tribes and do what headhunters do. And as they were doing this, this was their culture. This was the norm. This was the norm of their life. And it was acceptable. They would actually, when they would do that to another tribe and another person, they would put a tattoo on their face. And then they, as they put these tattoos on their face, I heard one of the guys say it was like, that was like a graduation moment for them. Like I'd made it, like I'd arrived. That was their entire tribe. And we're not talking about a tribe of 100 people or 200 people and some smaller. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. This was their culture. This is what they did. Until some Christian missionaries showed up. And we're not talking about in 15th century. We're talking about the 19th century. Some Christian missionaries showed up. And things slowly started to change in this tribe. So that today, listen to this, 90% of all of those people are born again Christians today. 90%. And I watched one interview with one man who talked about the atrocious things that he did as a headhunter, now talk about how he opened up his Bible and how his life has been changed. What happened? The kingdom came. The kingdom came. And I think sometimes we want religion to come to our society. We want the brand of Christianity to come to our society. But Jesus is not saying, I want that. Jesus is saying, I want my kingdom to come to your world. I want my kingdom to come to your communities, to your family, to your nation. Because when my kingdom comes, it changes everything. It changes everything. It's one kingdom taking over another. We need the kingdom of God to take over our lives. And I'm not just talking about church. Like I just said, I'm not just talking about church. Because the truth is, there are so many members of churches who are not members of the kingdom. All over the world, and let me get very specific, right here in this church, in this campus, there are people who are members of this church who are not members of the kingdom. God wants us to be a part of his kingdom. If we're being honest, for some of us, as much as this is a celebration today, I am excited about what God is doing today. I am celebrating us being back together. I have missed you. But for some of us, if we're being honest, when the doors of the church closed, so did our relationship with God. And today is a day to celebrate being back, but today is also a day that some of us are not only returning to the church, some of you need to return to the Father. Some of you need to return to the Father today. Wait a minute, Pastor, are you talking about my salvation and all this stuff? Because I believe in this. Listen, I'm not even getting into that. All I know is this. Some of you need to repent of some things in your heart. And today's the day that you need to do it. You've walked in here with guilt. You walked in here with shame. You walked in here carrying things that you know that you're not proud of. The Holy Spirit has already been putting his finger on it. And it's time to come home. Not just to the building, to the Father. See, my job as a pastor is not just to preach good sermons. My job is not just to rally the troops to go and do disaster relief. My job is to shepherd you back to God. When you get off, to point you back. And that's not to be mean. That's not to be harsh. I hope at all my tone is not harsh. My tone very much is, for some of us in this building today, we need to come back to him. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he wants you free from the very thing that you got yourself stuck into bondage with again. He wants you free from the very things that have been pulling you away from him. See, what Jesus requires of us to be a part of his kingdom is so much more than being a part of a church. It's so much more than having the title of a religion on your name. The kingdom is a hard thing for us to understand because we live in a democracy. And in a democracy, we've grown up in a democracy. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a democracy. I like being in a democracy. But democracies are ruled by people. Kingdoms are ruled by a king. When you're in a kingdom, there's one king. When you're in God's kingdom, Jesus is that king. And his word is our law. His word is our guidance. His word is our guidelines of how we live our lives. Why? Because he is our king and we have given ourselves over to him. Just that word kingdom, I've said this many times before, so forgive me if you've heard me say this, but please hear it again. Kingdom means the king's dominion, the king's domain. In other words, it means whatever belongs to the king is his kingdom. So I ask you today, do you belong to him? Do you belong to him? And I'm not talking about have you once prayed a prayer, because listen, one thing that I'm convinced of is we give him dominion of our lives, but too often we take it back. So I don't know about y'all, but I've been around people who love to give you stuff. They love to give you stuff. Hey, take this. Hey, take that. But then they're always holding you to some standard because they gave it to you. How many ever been around people like that? Hey, you can have this, but don't forget I gave that to you. Come on, be honest in church. You know that you've been around people like that. And they act as if you owe them something because they gave something to you. Or worse, if you don't live up to what they want or you don't do what they want after they gave it to you, they do what? They take it back. Which proves they never really gave it to you. Some of y'all are thinking of in-laws right now. They take it back. And it's just messed up as that is, we do the same things with our life. Jesus, you can have it all. Okay, I want you to do this. I don't want to do that. Jesus, I want you to have everything in my life. God, you can have it all. I need you. Come and rescue me, Jesus. And he comes and he brings you into his kingdom. And then he says, I want you to end that relationship. And you go, not that. Or he says, I don't want you to get into that relationship because it's not good with you. Not that. Or I want you to pay attention to some of the habits that are in your life. Don't touch that, Jesus. I want you to stop lying. Jesus has always been a part of my life. You're just going to have to deal with that. How about this one? I want you to be kind to your spouse. Jesus, have you met them? See, when he comes and he takes over and he takes dominion, he wants it all. And that doesn't mean you have to be perfect to start with. There's a process of God walks you through things, but we do not get into sin and act like God should be okay with it. Because that's not what he asked for. When he died on the cross, he gave everything for you. And the only thing he requires is everything of you. He wants it all. We're going to talk about a lot of practical things in this series, I promise you. But today needs to be a heart day. Today needs to be a day where some of us bring our stuff back to God. We bring him the sin because, again, when some of us, when the door's closed, we stop praying, stop spending time with God, started getting angry again. Started getting on Facebook saying things we shouldn't say. Come on, somebody. Can I just say that? Good, I'm going to anyway. For some of you, I would not know if you were a believer if I looked at your Facebook or your Instagram, but I would know exactly who you're voting for. If it's quiet in here, good. We're not a part of this kingdom. We are a part of his kingdom. Jesus said something very challenging to us. Book of Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he says this. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, what? This is right there in the Bible. Jesus says, if your righteousness is not greater than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you won't even enter the kingdom of God. Pastor, wait a minute. What does that mean? Because the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, these are people who they spent their lives studying what is righteousness. They spent the entirety of their lives trying to figure out where the line is so that they don't cross the line in sin. And they were meticulous about little details, and they wanted to do everything perfectly. But when Jesus came and he said, if you're going to be a part of my kingdom, your righteousness has to be greater than theirs, excuse me. And that can almost seem impossible. And the truth is, it is impossible. It is impossible. But know this, what God requires, God provides. And that means that Jesus was not saying that you have to be as meticulous as they were. He wasn't saying you have to figure out exactly where the line is so that you don't cross over the line. What Jesus is saying, I want my righteousness in your heart. And that means I'm going to give you the power to do the supernatural. I'm going to give you the power to say no to the things that you feel like you're so captivated by and you're bound by and you can't seem to. I will give you the power. And not only will I give you the power, I will give you the right heart and the right desire to do what's right. Because those people may not have had the right desire to do what was right. They wanted to systematically do what was right. Jesus was saying, I want you to live your life going, for the rest of my life, I never want to sin again. And I've told men in this church this before. Are you going to sin again? Yes. But should you ever want to sin again? Never. Never. Because I want to please him. I want to honor him. And we're going to unpack in the next couple of weeks what it means to have this kind of righteousness that Jesus is talking about. God wants a righteousness that comes from our heart. Jesus calls the people in his kingdom, you, not just churchgoers, kingdom people. He calls us to a new standard of righteousness. See, Christianity is not simply a prayer. Being a Christian is not just, I raised my hand, Pastor, and I said the prayer. As a matter of fact, and I say this please, because I want to teach you and guide you. I don't say this at all with any kind of negativity in my heart. Some of you in this place have prayed the born again prayer 25 times, hoping that it would stick. Hoping that it would stick. It's not those words that save you. It's not repeating something over and over that saves you. It's the willingness of your heart to mean what you're saying. Lord, I belong to you. I'm forsaking everything else. It's the same as when you get married. When I stood on the church stage altar with my wife, when I said yes to her, listen to this, please don't miss this. And I know I'm not preaching and yelling and being funny, but this is a moment for us as a church. When I stood on the stage with my wife and I said yes to her, you know what else I did simultaneously? I was saying no to everybody else. When you say yes to Jesus, you're saying no to everything else. And I think sometimes when we come to Jesus, we say yes to him, but we don't know in the back of our minds that that means I'm also saying no to that secret sin. I'm also saying no to that infidelity. I'm also saying no to those lies. I'm saying no to that anger. I'm saying no to impurity. I'm saying no, listen to this, to hatred in my heart for my brother. I'm saying no to all of those things so that I can say yes to him. Just like in your marriage vow, listen to this, forsaking all others. When you say yes to him and his kingdom, that's what you're doing. You're forsaking all others. Pastor, this seems pretty hard. It's downright impossible. But Jesus said, what's impossible for man is possible for God. He will give you the power, but your heart has to be willing. Repentance is what he calls for. He asks us for repentance. What does repentance mean? I'll give you a couple of different meanings. One is humility. It's coming to him going, I'm not hiding anything. There's some junk here. I'm humbling myself because I need you. I'm humbling myself, Jesus, because I need you to change me. But it's also turning. It's going in one direction. Repentance means to turn and to go in the opposite direction. And my fear is sometimes we say the words, but we don't have repentance in our heart. We don't really mean that we want to turn from our sin. We're just hoping that it somehow goes away. But it's going to take you bringing your heart and saying, I need your grace to change me. I need your grace to turn and to go in the opposite direction. And the amazing thing is once we come and we tell him that we don't want this anymore, he gives us the grace to change. But if we come hoping we can hold on to it, he does not give us the grace to change. Because you haven't forsaken all others. My wife would have no business if they asked me, do you commit to love and to cherish her in sickness and in health? And I go, it depends. When it was her turn, she better not say I do. That's what our relationship with God is. That's what joining the kingdom is. It is I'm committing to you and Jesus overcommits to you. He overcommits to you. When I say yes to Jesus, I say no to the world. I say no to the way things have been. What am I saying? In closing, I'm saying this. When the kingdom comes, change comes. When the kingdom comes, change comes. So today, my prayer for you, for some of you in this place, is that the kingdom comes to you today. And change comes today. And there's two groups of people that I'm talking about. One I'll get to. And those are the people that today maybe you've never prayed to be born again. You've never made the decision to follow him with your life. You've never said, I'm forsaking all others. Today he wants you. And what he offers you is so much better than what the world offers you. He offers you new life. And not eternal life in the sense that just one day in heaven, yes, that comes with it, but he offers you eternal life that begins now. Begins now. And we're going to get to them. But I want to talk to you, church. And I want to ask you right there where you're at to make where you're at an altar. If you say, Pastor, I need to bring some things to Jesus. Truth is, my heart got a little bit hard while we didn't have church. I saw all of the craziness going on in the world, and my heart got hard. I told a group of people last Sunday night, Jesus told us in the middle of all of the wickedness of the world, not to let our love grow cold. Some of you let your love grow cold. Some of you fallen back into habits in the past. I want us to give this to Jesus today. So right there where you're at, I'm going to ask, bring the lights down for a moment. I want everybody to close your eyes, bow your heads. And I want us to get some things right before the Lord. If this has been speaking to you today, come home. Come home. Jesus says this. The Bible says this. That if we confess our faults to him, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all sin and unrighteousness. He just wants you to give it to him. If you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to repent of some things. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me. And some of you may even want to get on your knees where you're at and literally make the pew in front of you an altar. If that's you, that's okay. Do that before the Lord. But say this with me. Say, Lord, forgive me. I need your mercy. I bring my sin to you. I confess it to you. And right underneath your breath, right where you're at, I want you to tell him what that is right now. Tell him what you're giving him. Confess that to him so that he can clean it up and clean it away from your heart. Say this with me. Say, Lord, because you've forgiven me, I choose to no longer hold myself responsible. Wash me in your blood. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your joy. In Jesus' name. Now with your eyes closed, your heads bowed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I've never prayed to be born again. Let me tell you something. That is the most important prayer, most important decision you will ever make in your life. And it's more than the words, as I mentioned. If you want to be born again, this is what Jesus says. Follow me. Follow me. If you say today, I want to follow you, Jesus, I want to pray for you. Jesus said, you can't even enter the kingdom of God unless you're first born again. And he said that to a very religious man, a religious leader who was not in his kingdom. I want to lead you in a prayer. And the prayer itself is simple. But again, it's your heart that says, I want to follow him. But it's as easy as ABC. A, you admit. Admit what? That there's sin in your life, that you're a sinner, and you're far from him. And B, you believe. Believe what? That God sent Jesus to die on the cross for your sins so that you can have a relationship with him. No amount of righteousness could ever earn it. It's all in what he did for you. And see, you confess. Confess that he is now the Lord of your life. And he is calling the shots. And you've turned and you're following him. So that's you with nobody looking around. I want you to just lift up your hand on the count of three because I want to know who I'm praying with. If you say, Pastor, that's me today. I want to be born again. I want to meet Jesus for the first time today. If that's you, 1, 2, 3, lift it up. If that's you, lift up your hand. Thank you. I want everybody in this place to pray this prayer out loud with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And on the cross, you died for my sin, for my guilt, and for my shame. I believe you faced hell for me so I would not have to go. And you rose again from the dead to give me a place in heaven, a purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So I turn away from my sin. I choose to follow you. And from this moment on, God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's celebrate with everybody that prayed that prayer.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.